powerful and difficult words to hear. As we reflect on these words, we reflect on Jesus' movement that night, that last night of Jesus' life. Last week we heard as Jesus celebrated his last meal with his disciples, the Last Supper. They celebrated a Passover meal. And as they concluded that meal, it says, when they sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now the hymn that they sung was part of the traditional Passover meal, a conclusion. Throughout the Passover meal, there are a number of different psalms and hymns that were sung. And so we know that the hymn that was sung at that point comes from Psalm 118, this psalm that we just heard. And so as Jesus was moving toward the Garden of Gethsemane, toward the 24 hours that changed the world, there were words of scripture, words from the Psalms, songs ringing in Jesus' head. And we can only imagine the words of this psalm from 118 resonating with Jesus as he continued that walk, hearing, I was pushed hard so that I was falling, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. Can only imagine Jesus repeating these words, the Lord is my strength and my might, every step that he takes, drawing upon the Lord's strength as he moved deeper into the night. Hearing the words of these psalms resonating with him. Because many times, words from songs resonate with us. Many times we hear songs over and over and over in our head. Sometimes we'll talk about, you'll say, I just can't get this song out of my head. And then you try and sing it to everyone else so that they can put it in their heads too, right? But we have these words of songs that just stay with us over and over because songs speak to us at a deep level, an emotional level, speak words deeper than the words we could ever say. And so we hear many times for Jesus that the songs that he sung were from the Psalms, the book of songs, the book of prayers, the prayer book of the Jewish church. And so Jesus has these words, these psalms resonating throughout. And we'll see that it wasn't only at this point as they end the Passover that Jesus would have these songs ringing in his head, but throughout the events of these coming hours, Jesus will over and over again quote various verses from the Psalms, many times living out the words of these psalms, embodying them. And so we find that Jesus here in this time is relying upon these words that come from Scripture, songs that come from Scripture to give him strength as he enters into the wee hours of the night. Jesus then says to his disciples, you all will become deserters. Jesus knows what is going to happen. Jesus has already predicted that Judas will betray him. And now he says to all the rest of those gathered that now you will desert me, knowing that soon he will be left alone. And yet when all those who are gathered here, they say, no, that cannot be. Peter, even the most, Peter the close, strong, Peter the rock says, oh no, surely not I. I would never desert you, Jesus. To which Jesus responds, not only will you desert me, but before this night is over, you will deny that you ever knew me 3 times. And Peter responds even more strongly, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. Indeed, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's not a very positive portrayal of the disciples that we see this evening as we reflect on the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus foretells they will all become deserters. They all claim allegiance that they would never desert Jesus. And then they go into the garden. Jesus goes there to pray, goes there in the midst of his anguish, in the midst to find strength from God, asking that maybe there's another way. Crying out in anguish, he asks Peter, James, and John, 3 of his closest disciples, to stay with him You could only imagine he doesn't want to be alone at a time like this. He takes these three with him so that they can stay awake with him, so he doesn't feel so alone. And yet it might have made the isolation feel even worse, because these three seem to be completely incapable of staying awake. Staying awake to be there for Jesus in his time of trial, in the midst of his anguish. Three times they fall asleep. Now I do have to give them a little bit of, you know, slack, because it's probably about 12 at night or 1 in the morning. And Pastor Joel might be able to tell you, if it were me, I clearly would not be awake at all during any of those hours and would be very much fast asleep within moments. Many of us would be. These are the wee hours of the morning that Jesus is calling on his disciples to stay awake with him. But we see these rather negative portrayals of the disciples, and oftentimes we think, well, these are the ones that are starting the church. Why would you keep these stories in there? And yet for me, I'm pretty thankful that they kept these stories in there, because I myself often find myself just as those disciples were, wanting so hard to stay awake and yet incapable of staying awake, proclaiming, I will stay with you. I would never do that, Lord. And yet we see that by the end of those few hours, the final verse of our reading says, all of them fled and deserted him. Every single one who had said they never would do that has fled. Because, well, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak. And that many times is so true for us as well. I know many of us are here now entering into the second week of Lent, and many people have given up things to fast for Lent, or maybe added things in, a new discipline. I'm going to pray every night before I go to bed. I'm going to read scriptures, do a devotion, not eat meat, give up chocolate. We have all kinds of things. I won't ask anyone to raise their hand, but a few people, even in the first week, might not still be on their Lenten fast. A few of you may not still be able, oh, I see a hand waving. One hand in the back is willing to admit that what they committed to is maybe a little bit harder than they thought it was going to be. And if we're honest, actually most of us probably have found those struggles. Maybe you're still good because it's only week one. I'll check with you in a few more weeks to see how you're doing on those new disciplines or those things you're fasting from. But many times we find that we too are like those disciples, that we desire, we want to change, we want to be better, we want to read our Bibles more, pray more, go to worship more, we want to be able to give more, share more, serve more. Our spirit's willing, and yet our flesh is so weak. And so, I for one am thankful that these verses remain in here, because I find myself in good company with many of the disciples, unable to hold to what I want to hold fast to. And yet, we see here that that's not the end when Jesus shares his predictions that all would become his deserters. Jesus says, you all will become deserters, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised, I will go before you to Galilee. It's just a short phrase. After I'm raised, I'll go before you to Galilee. And yet, in those few words, there's such a promise of hope. Because what it says is that even though you will desert me, even though you will flee, even though you will deny me, I will go ahead of you. And I will wait for you in Galilee. Jesus is not ending the relationship. Jesus is not abandoning those who have abandoned him. But instead, in these few short words, we hear that after Jesus raised, that Jesus will again come to all of those who have fallen short, whose flesh is weak, who are unable to do as their spirits so desire them to do, and that Jesus will again restore relationship with them, forgiving them for all the ways that they have fallen short and bringing them to himself, going ahead of them, preparing a place for them in Galilee. And so we hear words of promise, even in the midst of this dark, dark night, in the midst of predictions of desertion and denial, that even in the midst of this, that Jesus still is going ahead, restoring and preparing relationship for those disciples and for each one of his disciples. Amen.